The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we're now turning our attention to best practice for maintaining gasoline vehicles. Remember last week we talked about the whole hybrid system, and another person's called in and they learned a lot with the hybrid system. Well, back to join me is Antonio Prescott, lecturer of the CTS College and car sales trainer, here with us this morning as we're talking cars again, but we're discussing vehicle maintenance for gasoline vehicles because we have our perceived notion as to how these things should be maintained. Good morning to you, Mr. Prescott, sir.
Good morning to you.
Everyone. Let's tilt the mic up to you.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Got it? Nice. So good morning. Welcome back to Freedom Studios. We had a very great conversation, for those of you that missed it last week, about hybrid vehicles and the cost of hybrid batteries and the damages, the things that car hybrid salesmen and women would not tell you.
Correct.
So just to recap, what is the price for a hybrid battery again, Mike?
Between 15 to 20,000.
Between 15 to 20,000. So don't get tied up with the rhetoric of all the niceness with the sunroof and the 12.
So
the,
true.
The 10.5 digital display that you have, Android, you could hotspot. You understand? There's a lot of hidden things that are not said to you when you are purchasing those hybrid vehicles. And as Prescott mentioned last week, if memory serves me correct, they're prone to burn down faster.
Prone to. Correct. Is right.
All right. So let's get right into it this morning. Just to remind persons that the Spellbound Caravan is coming to you, featuring the Hive of Five, Saturday 23rd August at Eastgates Mall from 10 to 6 p.m. Get 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Get ready to experience our thrilling interactive zone where kids explore the UN's Sustainable Development Goals in a fun, creative way. Test your knowledge and get a chance to win prizes and giveaways from among our amazing sponsors, photo ops with Spellbound host, and much more. The Spellbound Caravan is brought to you by the Ministry of Planning, Economic Affairs and Development. And also, when life throws you the unexpected firestorms, accidents, remember that Furnace Anchorage General Insurance has you covered. From homeowners to commercial coverage, we protect what matters most. Don't wait for a disaster to strike. Call today for a free quote or visit us online. Protection starts with trust, and we've got you covered. So, Prescott, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Let's get right into the crux of the matter. Vehicle maintenance for gasoline vehicles. Now, first of all, for the benefit of those listening, let's identify what is a gasoline vehicle.
Simply, a gasoline vehicle is a vehicle that uses gas and not the hybrid or the EV system, as we know. And right now, a lot of persons are purchasing new vehicles. I know some people, they're skeptical as to which vehicle they should purchase. Whether it be gas, whether it be hybrid, whether it be EV. But today, we're talking about maintenance on gas vehicles. And I know that financial institutions, they would say, purchase a new vehicle. Okay, no problem with that. But sometimes your old vehicle, the right maintenance will be getting you there, which will be more affordable per se than to be paying that exorbitant price and loan every month. So with gas vehicles, what's the first thing that you should look at in terms of maintaining your vehicle? A good mechanic. What is a good mechanic? Sometimes people, I know, they press for time so that they will drop their vehicle and then after they will wait, or some of them will come back for the vehicle maybe later in the day. But I think that you need to be around to see what's happening. For example, not everybody know how to really check the oil, as simple as that, or even check the transmission fluid. Some people would even start the vehicle, which it is you're supposed to start your vehicle, and then pull the dipstick and see from hot to cool in between if the reading is right there. If it's lower, then after you have to top up. So simple things like that, you know, you want to be able to be checking your engine oil, your transmission fluid, at least I would say once a week, but it based on your driving as well. Because if you are driving a lot, then you may need to check it every 2 days. But if it's just, you're just driving from, let's say, from Arima to Trinity, you could check your fuel maybe once every week. Your
fluids.
Engine, yeah, your engine and also your transmission. A simple thing as, like, when it is you come out your vehicle and you're just walking around your vehicle, just to make sure that everything is good. And then when you're coming back into your vehicle and walking around as well too, some people take that for granted because you could never tell if someone maybe touch your vehicle. You could never tell if something happened somewhere. You just want to make sure that you checking around your vehicle to see that everything is intact.
All right. So glad we get that. We are going to have a very animated discussion. Hello, good morning. Quickly.
Listen to the panel. The new vehicle, a lot of new vehicles have no dipstick to check oil,
That's the thing.
Transmission oil.
Especially the Kia vehicles. So, and I don't mean to call brand, but it's a fact.
Okay, these electric vehicles, these hybrid vehicles have any dipstick tanks in.
All right, cool. So, dipsticks for the hybrid? No.
No.
Yes.
No.
For the oil?
For the oil...
You're not okay, so let's talk a little bit about the maintenance when it comes back to the vehicle. You mentioned checking your dipstick in those vehicles, those gasoline vehicles, but the ones that don't have it. I have a gasoline vehicle, and for the life of me, I cannot find. I went up online looking for it. I can't find out to check the transmission.
It's simple. Okay, so let's
in
say
the Kia, I have a Cerato there. I can't find the transmission dipstick.
You can't find it.
I looking for a transmission dipstick. I can't find it. You gotta show me. I don't know. They tell me take it in, and there's something under the car. You gotta go underneath. I don't know where the dipstick is.
Yeah.
Imagine I went to a mechanic to deal with some suspension parts. I was changing something with the boil joint that goes into the transmission.
Correct. Yeah.
And when you pull it out, a little fluid will drop. Mm-hmm. Nothing came out, and we couldn't find the stick. But I said, "Well, use a mechanic." He said, "I suspension pal."
And that's the thing about having a good mechanic, because everybody will say there's a mechanic, but you have to see from example what they did in the past, or maybe if it is that you are tech savvy, you want to go on a page and see on Google reviews what sort of reviews that they are getting.
Yeah.
You know, so I hear people say that they are a mechanic, and then when you go there, it's like you bring your vehicle, and then after when you leave there, it's like even worse.
That when you took it in.
Correct.
Hello, good morning.
If you meet again, David has no dipstick. Tell him, gentlemen, he has no dipstick to oil.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we conclude that. None, correct. Zero. So, I mean, let me take a... Hello, good... Okay. That call a loss. 625-2257 and 627-3223 if you want to get in on the conversation this morning. All right. So, I mean, you said once a week, check your dipstick for your oil.
According to how you drive.
And... what else you need to do in maintaining your vehicle? I mean, you tell me.
Okay, so if it is that you are doing maintenance on your vehicle, you're changing your oil between 5,000 miles, and you want to change your oil, you want to change your air filter, because your air filter could get debris on it, and that could cause your vehicle from holding back. And also, you want to change your carbon filter, which is inside the passenger side where for your AC, because you want cool breeze. You don't want breeze that may be dusty, because you're in your vehicle most of the time. So that's important to note. And according as well to your plugs, because your plugs, now if you don't change that, that could cause your vehicle to stutter. You know, you could get some sort of bucking, as we say. So changing your plugs, checking your coil packs to make sure that it's fine in the engine. Your air filter, engine oil, also your oil filter and your carbon filter is very important when you're looking at maintenance wise in terms of engine. Then when we think about suspension now, you want to check your boot rubbers to make sure that there's no leak, and also your steering rack, it have a boot rubber on it. So if it is that that's leaking now, you have to change your steering rack, which is costly. So in some vehicles, the steering rack could be like, let's say $800 to maybe $2,000. So when it is that you go up on a ramp, you just don't want to listen to that person who say that they are expert with suspension. You want to see, okay, show me the leak. Because sometimes you just minding your business on the phone and somebody say, okay, I change this, I change that. And then after when you go by somebody else to get a second opinion, it's like nothing has been done.
Oh, not much.
We know these things do happen, but you have to pay attention and understand, okay, simple things I should know.
All right. What about mechanics who have big garages and they don't want the customer around? Sometimes they tell you how to drop your vehicle and come back later. How should you treat with that?
Personally, for myself, I could talk on my experience. I do not like that, because I want to understand my vehicle. I want to understand, okay, I want to write down stuff. Oil change, 20th of April, next oil change based on how I drive could be, let's say, in July, for example. So with big garages, yes, I know that they may have a lot of clients and so forth, but I still want some sort of transparency. It's very difficult to deal with something like that, because that could be their policy, you know, but you have to seek interest, because that's your vehicle. You spent X amount of money on it.
So then what do you recommend? Because if you pull up in those big garages and they have these caution signs and telling you, we have a nice AC room, even though it have a glass and you could look down, they have about several lifts and stuff. You don't know which yours might be the one middle or furthest away from you, because the other two is occupied. You really can't see what is being done. You have a TV and you're watching and you're sitting in this cool space while you're waiting. Mm-hmm. But because their policy is, don't go out there. Mm-hmm. One, if you get damaged.
I want to see my old parts that you change. Mm-hmm. That will be my response.
So when you take it off, put it in a box, me please.
Correct. But you will discard it.
Yeah, give it to me.
Yeah.
That is what I do. So outside of that, what else? What are some of the, what you call this thing, boy? The things that people don't know about gasoline vehicles that they should know. You know, sometimes we, as a professional yourself, you mean, people might perceive to be, or what is a common thing being said that is not true? That kind of thing?
Ah, okay. We could talk about this. Gas. Going to the gas pump. Some people say, I don't want to purchase premium. It's too expensive. I will stick with just
super,
right? But when it is that you just put in a little bit of premium, whether it be like $4 to $6, your car just all of a sudden just boosts with power.
And energy.
Correct. You know, so I would say you need to mix that gasoline. So a lot of people will mention about user treatment, gas treatment, and so forth.
Right.
But if it is that utilizing premium, you don't necessarily need that gas treatment. So you putting super, let's say for the month, 3-4 times, you could put in a full unleaded premium, let's say once a month. And just by doing that, you realize the performance, the energy of the vehicle will be better. And you don't necessarily have to be servicing as much as if it just you just stick with super, because super itself is not that good. And when we think about like certain gas stations, not calling any name, you have gas stations that might be double filtered, and you may have gas station that is just one filtered. So obviously you want to go buy that gas station that is double filtered, because that'll be a better gas. Some people even mention car owners of gas vehicles that when they're putting gas in their vehicle and they drive off, they just get that buck. But it's not because anything wrong with the vehicle. It's because sometimes the gas that we receive may have water in it, and that causes that. So you have to be careful as to where you go to put your gas. And the best option is to mix your gas, and I'm talking from personal experience. And approximately over 1 year, I haven't put in any gas treatment in my vehicle, but I just mix my gas, and I realize that the performance of the vehicle is extraordinary.
Wow. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're going to buy a new vehicle, they're giving you all kind of options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Free insurance, free service, and free this and free that and thing. According to the guest, the way you think they just make back that money, when you have certain mileage, amount of mileage, they just tell you have to bring in the vehicle to service, right? And they change this and they change that and they do this and they do that. They're not doing it because they don't want you around. So that is where they're making back my money.
All right. Well, first to begin with, there's no such thing as free insurance. What they offer you, from the best of my knowledge, Prescott, is that you buy the car, mm-hmm. and you have the option to get insurance for 5 years.
Correct.
Or a year. And that is an extra cost, but it's absorbed in the loan itself.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. if persons who opt to take a year will pay the installments. Let me say if it's 3,000 a month, they'll end up paying something like 35, because 500 goes back to the insurance and the 3,000 is paid towards the car loan.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the 12 months, when your insurance is paid up, you'll continue paying your 3,000 to the loan, which is the mortgage bill or seal of the car, and then you have to find your own insurance. Or mm-hmm. you can go back and refinance insurance by them.
Yeah.
So that is what is offered. It's not free insurance, or it's encompassing the entire car. So every year, I don't subject myself to that 5 year. Nah, because remember, you have your no claim bonuses and all these things. Insurance do depreciate after a period of time. You pay less and less. So I prefer take it for the year on moan, mm-hmm. or if I take the loaner. That's my advice. Hello, good morning.
Just imagine, because comments about temperature gauge,
something
else in the vehicle, and there's no temperature gauge.
All vehicles have temperature gauge.
Damage your rally. All the water leak out, you will not know until the master finishes. What next? No gas gauge? They won't shut down all.
No. You see, I will let you respond to that.
Okay.
There is a temperature gauge on all vehicles.
Yeah. So, like, it has some vehicles. I would mention any brand of vehicles that it don't actually have that temperature gauge.
That meter.
Yeah, that meter. To see, well, okay, I could drive a distance and I could stop. So other vehicles is just that, is either it's just going high up straight, and I see some people with some vehicles that they input a temperature gauge so that they can get that reading, because it's either with the without the temperature gauge, you don't know if you're going to overheat or not.
Well, okay.
And that's a big point, because like for myself, you know, sometimes like just the other day I was driving and I realized my temperature gauge going up. So I say, well, okay, I could reach to McCoy and then stop. But if I don't have a temperature gauge, I don't know if I could reach to McCoy because I don't have my head gasket to blow.
Well, so but there are some vehicles where it's digital.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you gotta know your vehicle and how, because for years I drove, and I will say this, oh my God, not the M20 now, JK.
Okay, yes.
J31.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it's a dumb switch, they call it, on the ground and thing. And it's either, when you start the vehicle, you see the blue, mm-hmm. temperature light comes up.
Correct.
And then it comes off.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time you would know if anything has happened is if that temperature light comes back on red.
Yeah.
But during the period,
you don't know.
And
Tita's like that too.
The Kia Cerato, especially the one I have, there is a switch that can switch to different modes, fuel consumption, this, mm-hmm. that, and there's temperature. I leave it on the temperature all the time.
Right.
But if I press the button, it will take me to the trip.
Mm-hmm.
A, trip B. So you could set, you know,
yeah.
and then I can put it back, press it again, and I will see the gauge
mm-hmm.
digitally.
Yeah.
So I see it when I start in the mornings. There's no reading, and then it gradually comes up and stops where it's supposed to be. It doesn't cross the half. Because
mm-hmm.
when it starts crossing the half, that's when it starts overheating. Let's take a call. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doros.
Well, I have installed, and my son has installed in his vehicle, a digital readout of the temperature, as well as battery voltage reading. There is a combination meter. They just wire it up accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I am not comfortable with just that blue thermometer sitting there in front of me, and it will turn red when things go bad. I like the flexibility to just go downstairs, start, and as I drive, watch how the temperature is going up. If I am in traffic or I stop somewhere and I keep the engine running, I watch how the temperature is going up while the vehicle is at a standstill and all of that kind of thing. I have grown accustomed to that. I am not depending on the technology, because if technology fails, yes, there's a red thermometer that will pop up, but the problem with that is that pops up when you're going to have to get some help, you know. So mm-hmm. I want to see the temperature going up long before that, and I would recommend that if you do not have a digital readout. Now there's all kinds of cars, right? All kinds of vehicles. If you do not have a digital readout, go buy your electrician and let them install one. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. When going to maintain your gasoline vehicles, what are some of the do's and the don'ts? So run me through some of the don'ts when you carry your vehicle to service. Let's itemize those things quickly. The don'ts.
Okay.
Don't do this. Don't do that. Give me that one.
All right. So when it is you going to service your gas vehicle, I would say definitely don't look at some people in terms of your oil, for mm-hmm. example,
mm-hmm.
right? It has some people who believe that the car is still new, but it's like 10 years. So you want to switch from, let's say, like a 510 body to 2050, because the engine of the vehicle is a bit older. So it may not be as good as if you just utilize 520 oil. So that is one thing. And next thing as well, too.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm, thanks. And next thing as well, too. Some people believe that they need to purchase a certain brand in terms of air filter or even carbon filter. And really and truly, it's just that you want a filter
that's clean.
Do not have debris. That's
yeah,
clean.
It's clean. It's a new filter.
Yeah.
It fits. It's the size. Mm-hmm. Put it in. There's no special filter.
Correct.
Yeah.
And let me look at brakes now. Wagner brakes. They emit a lot of dust. And some people believe in it because who are selling it saying that this is the best brakes possibly? And then you could purchase some brakes that maybe half the cost, and it's doing a better job. And when it is, for example, you have your fancy rims and you utilize Wagner brakes, a lot of dust on your rim. So, you know, sometimes it's not about brand, but it's about looking at what it is that you're getting out of it.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to find something about thinking in vehicle.
About the what?
What this ED wagon 9 years
ago. The what? No, repeat. You want to find out something about the?
Thinking.
Thinking?
T-I-N-G. I-N-G. Thinking. You hear me?
We're not understanding what you want to find out about.
What causes that?
What causes what?
Pinking.
Pinking. Oh, pinking, oh. Pinking.
Okay, pink. Okay.
I bought this 80 wagon 9 years ago, right? So I understand that the wagon, 80 wagon, the dealers both have the same engine. Right? So I have been trying, I use premium gas past about 5 years. I don't use water gas, premium gas. And I use treatment also this year, red line. And it's getting a little better, but it's just still out. It's not out. I wonder what I do. You understand? Stop that. If you have any, thank
you. All right, thank you.
Okay.
What is pinking to begin with?
Pinking is like when a vehicle, it giving like a stuttering.
Oh,
basically.
Okay.
But the thing about pinking is like with gas, it could be utilizing a lot of super and that could cause it. But in his instance, he say utilizing premium. So what I would suggest, but because it could be many other things as well too, you have to check your spark plugs, even check your coil packs to see. But it could be many other things that I am not a mechanic. Let's be clear on that. So I am talking about maintenance. You know, so in that sense, I would leave that to the mechanic. But most of the times at pinking is the wrong gasoline that you're utilizing. But the caller said that he's utilizing premium. So it have me second guessing as to what it could be.
Well, my mind went automatically to what you said. Spark plugs, coil pack. My mind went there because pinking usually, for me, for my experience, is with the, well, I basically, I probably own one vehicle with spark plugs.
Right, okay.
What is it called? The plug wires. Wires. Mm-hmm. All my other vehicles, I use coil packs. And I recognize that when I use the aftermarket coil packs, might cost a little less, but it new and everything, but it doesn't hold out.
Correct.
As opposed to you go down in the bamboo and you pull a coil pack from my engine. It's a hit and miss, you know, if you go get it, but when you put it in, you have to test it before you go. If you have your tools, test it out quick, put it in quack.
Yeah.
And you pay a little 200, a little 250, and you push.
Correct. Right? And for example, let me talk about like the Tida and the Selfie. You have to take out the manifold to change the coil pack. So like an 80 wagon, you could pull one coil pack,
check that bad,
you know, and pull another one. So you see, with technology now, it's good, but at the same time, it could be a bit costly.
But even to change spark plugs on the J31, it had one with the digital, it had the Japanese and the Singapore.
Singapore,
so the Singapore was the 2 liter, and then you had the 2.5 liter, right? With the six cylinders. That coil pack to check, it always built it on the engine. You had to take off the top part of the engine and get the changes.
So it's like if you're going in there, better you change the four and done.
Yeah, change four. When it could be just one.
Correct. So with the caller, the 80 wagon now, he now could take out one back and go to the bamboo and say, hey,
this is the one that's bad. Because you could pull it out and you could see. So, I mean, you recommend maintaining vehicles. One person, and you could shed some light on this. Every 5,000 miles or 3 months, whichever comes first.
Correct. And it's based on your driving as well. Because recently, you know, I'm not driving that much. And I went to my mechanic to service. And he was like, hey, your oil is good. And I saying, but I drove more than the time. So it is based on your driving. So like somebody who work in taxi, you may have to change your oil, let's say, every 2 months because you're up and down getting passengers. So driving is important. Mm-hmm. So some people drive a lot, some people don't drive that much. So it's based on your driving, as I mentioned.
All right. One person is saying, listening to your guest this morning, how about running some courses on basic car maintenance so people can do simple checks on their own vehicles? I know some women who don't even know how to put air in the tires.
So true.
Some women depend on men.
Yeah.
Others want to, you know... And let me see, Marie, can't be governed. Can a truck be governed down?
When you say governed?
Well, reduce speed and... Did they do that? I was hearing this term. I mean, you're not a mechanic, so
Yeah. correct.
If your engine timing is off, if the engine timing is correct, the gas or your heating, that can cause pinking as well.
Right, okay.
So the timing of the engine had to be... wrong engine timing causes, right? Pinging or whatever it is.
Yeah, pinking it is, yeah. You see, so many different options, you know. You're not sure. You really have to go into it and check different things. Yeah. But the best thing I always say is utilize the computer and scan and see what is showing up. Sometimes the computer may not show up exactly the timing of the engine itself, so you might have to go into it to see what is the issue.
What is engine timing? If you can explain it in layman's terms, if you have any knowledge of it.
Engine timing is to make sure that the car is idling the way how it's supposed to, and the timing of the belt in layman's terms.
All right, cool. I have a call coming through. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Debbie.
Morning, my darling.
And good morning to the guy there.
Good morning to you.
How long will you have to take to change, like, your brakes? Shoes and the this pad, like how long? It's a Nissan match we have, right?
Right.
We buy it about 3 years. So, like, how often do you have to change the disc pad and the brake shoes? Thank you.
All right.
My question to her is, how much driving does she do regularly?
All right.
I have an idea. But normally, this pad could last long. Because remember, if it is, you're just commuting from...
Point A to point B on a daily basis.
It could last maybe even a year.
Yeah.
Just saying. So it's all about your driving. And I know not all women may know how to check their brakes, but it always good just to maybe go by mechanic, get an idea as to when to change it, and then maybe get a second opinion. Because sometimes as a woman, you go to a mechanic shop, they see you a woman and they say, okay, yes, I would basically change it for her, but really and truly, it don't need changing.
But they will tell us to be changing it and, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know how that goes.
Hold on. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm again. Here again. Now, I just only scanning everything. Sounds good. Everything is good. Everything good.
Really?
Apparently, somebody's even covered that because it does. Somebody children have that same problem. So I don't. I'm just trying to find out.
Well, you had to change your mechanic, boy. I think I hear him in and out.
In and out.
Yeah, you had to change.
Yeah.
One person is saying, caller, you'll have to call me back. I didn't get you correctly. What constitutes a normal tune-up for gas vehicles? All right. So that's a very good question.
Okay,
so let's talk about maintenance. What constitutes a normal tune-up?
So it's oil change. Remember, when you're changing your transmission fluid, you don't necessarily have to change it every 5,000 miles or every 3 months. It might be more like 1 year, 2 years, and based on driving, air filter, carbon filter, changing your plugs. You don't necessarily have to change coil packs because your coil pack will be good, but the plugs sometimes could be bad and that could be causing the vehicle to hold back. And besides that, doing a suspension check, because remember with our roads right now, it's crazy. So suspension check to make sure that your alignment is great, rotating your tires and looking at the tread of the tire, meaning the height, because we're seeing a lot of accidents on the road these days and we wonder what is happening. You know, like even one guy sometime back was driving on the highway and just ran into a pole, and you want to know, well, how come that happened? How he lost control? Sometimes your tire is so smooth and the tread of the tire is not that good that you driving and don't even know how easy it is that you could just maneuver and go into the wrong direction. So basically, as I mentioned, air filter, carbon filter, suspension check, oil change, plugs.
All right. Nice. Hello, good morning.
Morning, baby.
Good morning, sir.
You know, I heard the Basel Chase talk about this heat gauge business.
Mm-hmm. Temperature gauge.
Years ago, I said, well, what the hell is this? I wasn't seeing any heat gauge either. Then a partner told me, he said, boy, it have an idiot light for it.
The
so
dumb
what
switch.
I started to do is that, you know, like, I would, like, monthly, I would check the level of my water, my coolant and everything, and never had a problem. But one thing I want to leave you with, the lady who called in about the brakes, well, let me tell you, I was driving this vehicle, and then one day I started here, I swear this front wheel was going to drop off. when I retired mechanic, it was the indicator for the disc pad that was indicating that the disc pad had reached a point it had to be changed, and that indicator was screeching on the panel. Right?
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks for that.
And that is a factor. That is a piece of metal when you're putting in the brakes,
mm-hmm.
the pads, and it clamps onto the rotor disc. There's a piece of metal that once the disc
correct.
Reaches a certain mm-hmm. amount and it comes down,
you'll get that screech.
That screeching yeah. is a piece of metal, a very thin piece of metal that is screeching on the rotor mm-hmm. as the wheel is rolling.
But to reach that level,
you could tend to, you might end up having to polish your disc.
Correct.
And you can't polish it too thin neither, because you might say it's thick and it gets polished some more, but remember, that is your braking mechanism. Eh? And if you polish that too thin, meaning polishing simply mean carried by a machine shop.
Machine shop you have to polish, yeah.
And they smoothen it down, because it gets ridges.
Mm-hmm.
And that ridges could cause a vibration when you mash the brakes.
Correct. And as we're talking about rotor disc, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it have a lot of drive-through car wash in Trinidad.
Mm.
And a lot of people, you know, everybody wants to do fast these days. So it's like you have a meeting, appointment, you need to wash your vehicle, so you go by a car wash, drive through, and so forth. But you have to remember that the rotor disc is hot based on the driving that you have done. So when it is that you go and wash your vehicle, after a time, that rotor disc could warp. So your vehicle needs to cool before you wash your vehicle. But I know that people, in terms of the busy and the time and so forth, but car maintenance is so important that one rotor disc, according to the vehicle, could be, let's say, from 500, maybe go straight up to like $1,500, $2,000. So like, what it is that you're doing to maintain your vehicle? That's the question that needs to be asked. What is maintenance?
Well, right.
For some people.
But that's the point, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you mentioned that. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Maureen.
Morning, Ron.
What advice do you all have for Barataria, which is kerosene-driven Cortina? Okay.
We on gasoline, so kerosene.
People is driving. My apologies.
No problem.
He's called us. Somebody says, Davey, polishing your rotor disc too thin can cause it to crack as well.
Mm.
Oil plugs, points, condensers, and filters. These are things that you must change. Good programming. Thank you so much, Davey, for bringing this gentleman on. Talking about washing, Dave, if I'm going to do an engine wash, what precautions can I take against damage?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, for example, this happened to me, and this might be something peculiar. So one time I went to engine wash my vehicle, but the vehicle was so hot that when the guy sprayed the water on the engine, it actually cracked the glass. So that is something extremely important to start.
You're going to
cool your vehicle, because obviously the engine will be extremely hot, right? So when it is that you washing your vehicle, obviously the electrical components, you want to cover that, because you don't want now when it is that the engine wash finish and you start your vehicle, it cannot start.
Mm.
So a lot of people who engine washing, they're just washing the engine, but they don't know what components to cover.
Wow.
And that is extremely important.
Wow. From the guy who called concerning the pinking of the AD wagon, he can go to any parts place and purchase something called a QMI fuel treatment and empty it into the gas tank. It helps a lot with the pinking. All right.
Okay.
Well,
that is good, but once, as the guy mentioned, he's using premium. So once you're using premium, you shouldn't be getting pinking. So I think it's something further.
Good morning, Davey. Good program. All right, for the petrol heads and stuff like that. Great programming, Davey. Thank you so much for this one. This person says, I drive an NZE Corolla since 2005. Still going well. My practice is change oil, transmission, oil plugs, and filters regularly.
I don't believe in changing. I have an NZE as well, and I don't believe in changing transmission fluid the same time with engine oil. It don't make any sense.
Weekday morning. That don't make sense. You think it's better?
I know for a fact, because I have an NZE for a while and I haven't changed transmission fluid and the car is going pretty well. But the engine oil is important because that is the life.
Final question before we depart on this topic this morning. Let's talk a little bit very, very quickly on the body of the oil. You said 20, 50 and 58 body. What was the difference? Let's remind persons very quickly.
Okay, so older vehicles, you would want to utilize like a heavier body, which would be like 20, 50. But newer vehicles, you would utilize a lower body, where it could be 5 to 10, 5 to 20. Different brands will have it, like 5 to 15 and so forth.
And them kind of thing. It's a thinner oil.
A thinner oil.
And the engine needs that as opposed to a thicker oil.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.